Stretchy. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
The marathon continues. It's 11:05. It's our, I don't even know, 5, 6, who's keeping score? I mean, who the hell cares at this point? All I know is it's JJ After Dark. Chad Krzyzewski for Stevie Summers out here on the Fan, 877-337-6666. A very disappointing loss for the New York Mets as they rally a bunch of different times, but they can't overcome the subpar, pathetic pitching performance from one Noah Syndergaard. And they lose out at Citi Field by the score 9-8. Let's talk some Met baseball. This guy, one of my favorites. He's proud of me because I am doing my due diligence on catching up with the Game of Thrones series. I'm midway through season 3, might I add. And let's welcome in the outstanding Met columnist from Yahoo Sports and my good pal, Matty Holt. He joins us. He's on a Fan. What's up, Matty? How are you, pal?
You know, JJ, I know what hour it is. It's does this qualify as the witching hour?
I was going to say, it's always the witching hour on this station and on this show. Although, I believe the gentleman who was on before me may have a copyright on that. So we better be careful, Matty. We don't want to get ourselves into trouble now.
Hey, listen, let's grab some Diet Cokes and let's have a good time.
There we go. So what do you got for me, Matty? First things first here. I love the fight from the Mets. I love the way they hit home runs in this game. I love the way they grinded out at bats. But there's really one way and one simple way to look at this game. Noah Syndergaard failed miserably. I mean, again, Noah Syndergaard giving up 4-plus runs. Again, Noah Syndergaard yucking up leads, not really giving his team a chance to win. Is it fair to say that we can simplify this game simply just due to the fact that a guy who's supposed to be a front-end ace is not performing like one?
Yeah, tonight's on Syndergaard. I mean, when they score 8 runs in a Noah Syndergaard start, they need to win that game. Simple as that. You know, he put them in a 4-0 hole. They gave him a 5-4 lead. He blew that. They gave him a 6-5 lead. Tonight's on Syndergaard. Simple as that. I mean, you know, you look at, again, they scored eight runs with the Syracuse lineup with their pretty much from their 5 through 9 spots. I mean, tonight is completely on Syndergaard, who, you know, it's one step forward, one step back with him every time. I mean, you look at it, it's just, he's not consistent this year. He'll have stretches where he looked really good. I mean, you look at it, the previous time, 2 times ago against the Nationals, he was really good. He was actually pretty good last time out against Miami, even though he got the loss in that game. And then tonight, you just watch him, and it's just, it's not there. And I don't know why, because they behind the scenes, they tell you he's healthy. You look at his stuff, some days it's there. I mean, he did get 9 strikeouts tonight, but, you know, 6 runs against his Tigers lineup, that just should not happen.
And you know what makes it worse, Matty? It's one thing you're going to give up 4 runs early. When the Mets come back and get you multiple leads and you yuck them up on 2 different occasions, and we could debate the merits of whether he should be out there for the 6th inning. I get it. The Met bullpen is compromised. They need Syndergaard to go deep into games. But I think that makes the start that much worse. The fact that Mets rally, take the lead. It's 5-4. He gives up the home run to Cabrera. Alonso hits a home run. He gives another run up. I mean, that simply cannot happen.
No, you're 100% right. Because I'll tell you, watching the game tonight, when Hecheverria hit the home run, I said, all right. I was just thinking. I was like, Syndergaard's going to shut him out the next few. And I said, Mickey's whole thing post-game will be, he had a rough start, but he rebounded. That's what's important. He showed some guts. But then he goes out and gives up the homer to Cabrera, the one guy in that lineup you can't let beat you. Then he gives him another lead, and he gives up some runs. So, yeah, I mean, he had a chance tonight to say, hey, listen, I had a rough start, but I rebounded. But, you know, I mean, it was just a very bad performance by him tonight. And you know, I mean, to be frankly, you know, he's going to make, what's today, Friday? So he'll make one more start this month next Wednesday against the, if I'm doing the math right, I'm not sure. What's today, the 20th? Yeah,
he'll be pitching against Wednesday. The Dodgers next week.
Right, which is not where you want to end May in. I mean, he's going to end the month. I mean, you know, somewhere in the mid-4s, if not high, you know, low 5s with his ERA. And I mean, that's just not, this Mets team is not going anywhere if DeGrom and Syndergaard are not the 1-2 punch that they thought the Mets think they should be.
Well, I think that's totally fair. And are we just coming to the point, Matt, with Noah Syndergaard, where this is what we should expect every time he toes the rubber, that it's not the expectation of a dominant start every time he's out there. It's like this, you know, old Forrest Gump adage, you know, like life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That's the way I feel right now about Noah Syndergaard. You don't know what you're going to get. And as you know, that's a monumental problem.
I think that's a little harsh because I think he has a lot of good starts. But, you know, maybe, like, when I look at Noah Syndergaard, I think in a lot of ways, Noah Syndergaard, right, and you could say whether or not you want to say this is in part because of the personality that he embraces, there are a lot of people who look at Noah Syndergaard, right, and they expect him to be Thor every time he's out there. Well, you know, last year he had a 3 ERA. I know some Mets fans were think he was not good last year. Guy had a 3 ERA. I mean, you know, if you wanted to be 2.2 in DeGrom, okay, he wasn't that.
No, but he pitched well, but let's be fair, Matt. The last 2 years, he's not been on the mound at all. That's a problem. Fair or unfair, that's a problem
last
for him.
Year he was, last year he was for the most. I mean, he made, like, I think, I forget how many starts exactly. But he was. But anyway, I mean, maybe Syndergaard is, and I don't want to short-term because his stuff is that good. Maybe he's a guy like, and I'm just trying to think of a guy from the top of my head, a guy who came to mind for me for a second was Josh Beckett. Like, maybe he's this guy who, when he is on, he is just dominant. You can't hit him, but he's going to have some clunkers. He's going to have these poor games where you just go, where is it? Where his stuff can be so good. But he'll have some stretches where he just gets hit up a little bit, and you just go, man, well, how does anybody hit him? I mean, maybe that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Josh Beckett was a damn good pitcher, and maybe I'm off with that comparison, but maybe that's where the adjustment needs to be. That maybe, hey, Syndergaard's going to have nights, he's going to be the best guy on the planet, but he's going to give you a few stretches during the year. He's just going to say, what is going on with this guy?
Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports, Mets lose to the Tigers 9-8. And Matty, I said Friday morning, it was so imperative, so crucial for this team to bare minimum win 2 out of 3. You get swept by the Miami Marlins, rock bottom, you hope for this 2019 season. But then you rally back with 4 straight wins against the national team. That's just awful. Let's call it like it is. Their manager is incompetent. Their bullpen is an absolute joke. They're the biggest underachievers in all Major League Baseball. And to the Mets' credit, they had some good wins. They did the job. They had some fun moments Wednesday and Thursday. How crucial is it, in your opinion, with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks coming up, and with June, the schedule getting tougher, for the Mets to bare minimum now win the next 2 games of this series?
Yeah, they got to do that, because I think if you lose 2 or 3 of the Tigers, it kind of sets you back where it was like you were in a good position. I mean, listen, if they win the next 2 days, they get to 500. It'll meant that in the stretch that they were the 15 games. I mean, right now, what are they? They were 3-0, 7. I think I forget exactly what they are. I think they're 9-7 or 6 or something at this point. But again, like they're 7-6 at this point. They win the next 2, they get to 9-6, .500. They did they got back to 500. But you lose, I think it takes a little bit of bite. Cause I mean, hey, you watch the Tigers tonight. That's not a good team. Half of the guys in those lineups, you shouldn't be in, you know, a major league lineup right now. Their bullpen's not all that good either. I mean, tomorrow, I've never even heard of the guy they're starting. So, you know, the Mets really need to take 2 of 3 here. So at least they have something going in LA where, I mean, the Syracuse line, although apparently the Syracuse lineup the Mets have is the home run mashing lineup of the year. I mean, JJ is incredible. I mean, I was watching it tonight. I turned to my dad when Altair came up, and just because of the way Mets gone, I go, he's going to homer here. I was just like, you had watched it all week with Echeverria. I was like, he's going to homer, and then second pitch, boom, into the it's incredible right now.
Okay, Matty, out of all these guys that have come up over the past week, Gomez, Altair, Echeverria, out of any of these guys, who do you think is the most likely to have an impact on this team by the time we reach the end of the year?
Gomez or Echeverria. And if you had to ask me, I would probably say Gomez has the best shot, just because I don't know how much longer Davis is going to stay. I don't know how much longer Altair is going to stay. Echeverria is bad. This is a guy having a few good days. He can't hit. No offense to him. It's just his bat. He doesn't hit. That's the track record. Gomez, though, hey, he's 1 year removed from a good thing. Maybe he's a righty outfield bench guy. I mean, you know, the question with Hedgeverry is going to be how much does he even play, especially once McNeil comes back. So, I mean, if you had to ask me, I would think maybe there's the best opportunity for Gomez.
Okay, the Mets signed two players who are household names to minor league contracts. Irvin Santana to give him a boost potentially within the rotation. It's amazing. Irvin Santana, he ended 2017 season, Matt. He's starting a wild card game at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
For the Minnesota Twins. Now Irvin Santana is dying for work. Well, the Mets are going to give him some work. They also signed Matt Kemp, who was an all-star a year ago. So I ask you this, my friend. Who is more likely to play a role for the Mets out of the two guys they signed? Is it Matt Kemp? Is it Irvin Santana?
Matt Kemp, but I think that's an easy one because Irvin Santana hasn't gotten anybody out. I mean, if you include that wild card game, he hasn't gotten anybody out since then. If you just look at it, since he had that finger surgery, he just can't get anybody out. I mean, you know, here's the thing with Kemp. Kemp at this point in his career is a bad fit for a National League, probably because he can't play any semblance of defense. But if you tell me, can Matt Kemp give you a better at bat late in the game as a righty than like Echevarria or something? Yeah, I think he can do that. You know, if he runs into a few homers this year, hey, the Mets got out of him what they were looking for. I mean, realistically, that's the thing with all these signings. Like, I know some Mets fans have been critical of me, like, they're just signing retreats, these guys all stink. Okay, like you know, yeah, if the Mets have to go the whole year with Gomez, Echevarria, and Matt Kemp, they're not going anywhere. But you know what? Hey, Echevarria helped steal you a game Tuesday and Wednesday night. Davis did. Carlos Gomez won. If these guys win you 1 to 2 games during the course of a year, like, that's a good, hey, that's better than the alternative here. I mean, you know, I mean, JJ, not everybody can be Giovanni Urshela. You know, let's be honest here. They all can't be the guy who, you know, hits apparently 900 and drives in a run every time. But, you know, if you get a guy here who can, you know, win you a game like Gomez did, hey, you know what? That was a signing well done then.
You're right about that. Now, Maddie, this is coming from our pal Zach Brazilla, who's listening to the show right now, and I agree with him 1,000% on this. Can you explain to me why Todd Frazier's hitting third in this Met lineup? He had multiple chances in this game. He goes 0-for-5. He's hitting 205 on the year. You wonder what his role on this team is going to be once everybody gets back. But what is Mickey doing hitting him third in the lineup?
Here's my guess. Frazier had been swinging the bat well. A little bit going into tonight. I mean, if you looked at the numbers, Frazier had actually been playing pretty well. My guess here is he looked at it and he said, if he bats Alonzo third, then after Alonzo, one, why are you going to pitch to Alonzo at all? And two, the hope is if Frazier gets in front of him, Alonzo can drive him in versus the opposite, where if you had to say at this point, who's more likely to drive the guy? That is my guess. I don't know the exact reasoning. I also thought early in the year they should have put Alonzo in the two hole when they moved him back to cleanup. I bet you they would reexamine that. But my only thinking, I'm thinking right now, is just the thought of they're afraid if they put Alonzo in the three spot, he's not going to see anything because people are just going to attack Frazier and Ramos. I know Ramos had a little nice game today, but while they looked at, hey, maybe Frazier was swinging a hot bat, if he can get on in front of Alonzo, you give your best RBI guy a chance to drive him in. That is just my thinking there.
Okay, Matty, before we get you out of here, Mickey Watch appeared to be in full force after that sweep against the Miami Marlins. Obviously, the Mets winning 4 straight games against the Nationals is going to help matters. What are you hearing right now from your sources about the job security with this manager at this point in time?
The manager said the other day for the foreseeable future, the GM said for the foreseeable future, he's safe. I mean, hey, let's be honest here, right? Like, if they go out on the West Coast and they go 0-7, we're going to be having this discussion again. So this is not anything where it's just like foreseeable future is open to interpretation, right? Like, if the Mets play like they are now, it's not going to be an issue. But I will say this. Behind the scenes, what I was hearing on Mickey was, one is the Mets didn't look at it right now. If they change manager, what was going to happen, right? Like, there's two elements. One, it's hard to get a really good manager to come in the middle of the season. You're already paying for a guy, and, you know, for as much as there's the Buck Showalters, the Joe Girardis, who are going to cost money, those guys are tough to land mid-season. You don't usually see a guy come out of retirement in the middle of the season to save it. That's something you do in the offseason, right, where you say, hey, listen, we're paying Mickey, but this guy, we get him from there from day one. And second one is some Mets behind the scenes, they just think, hey, what is this really going to change? Is there really – it's going from Mickey to Jim Riggleman. Is that going to really save the season? Like, sometimes when you make that, that's kind of either a last ditch, or it's like a way to kind of galvanize the troops. the Mets just didn't think that going to, you know, Callaway to Riggleman was going to be anything on May 20th. It was going to be like, oh, this saves the season. So, but I'll say this. They need to start winning because – keep winning because otherwise, like you said, they're certainly – not a. This is not a situation where, like, Nicky is safe by any regard. I mean, and you just brought it up, right? I mean, you look at their June schedule. We're going to find out very soon, in the next month, if the Mets are pretenders or if they are actually a team that has something. Because you look at the stretch they have from, I believe it is, starting with the Subway Series, the Yankees. They go, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe it goes Yankees, Cardinals, at Braves, at Cubs, at Phillies, Braves at home, Yankees, Phillies. We're going to find out right then and there if this team has any shot at making the playoffs or if they're just, you know, pretenders.
The outstanding Matty Holt, Yahoo Sports. Check out his coverage of all things New York Mets. Matty, appreciate it as always. Keep up the good work, and I'll let you know my latest update on where I'm at in the Game of Thrones series, okay?
Where are you right now?
Towards the end of Season 3, my friend.
Have you gotten to a certain episode yet?
There are many certain episodes I may have gotten to.
Have you gotten to an episode yet called Reigns of Castamere?
No, I have not, actually. I have not.
Well, be sure to text me after you watch that episode.
I will do that. We will discuss. All right, Matty, good stuff. Have a good weekend. All right, buddy?
Have a good one.
Bye. There you go. And I was breaking down the latest of Game of Thrones with the lovely Erica Hurst.
Well, that was the episode I was talking about.
It was.
Yes. Something called the Red Wedding. So but you won't know what that is until you get there.
I have some catching up I need to do.
Yes.
And I love the show, by the way.
It's
awesome. Fantastic.
It's awesome.
I heard a lot of people don't like the finale, but hey, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. What, could they do better?
Well,
I couldn't do better.
We're going to find out when I see the episode.
You'll like it. It's fine.
And you know what, Erica? Think about Sopranos. I hated the Sopranos finale when it came out live.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Now, I love it.
You get it.
I totally understand.
Yeah, this was fine. It was fine.
Okay. Fair enough.